Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today for the broadcast. We are really excited about the opportunity to bring this daily broadcast to you. And I want you to know that we pray for you. And as you are about your business, maybe driving up on the road, down the highway, praying for your safety, and just praying that this broadcast will really bless you, really encourage you. And I want you to know that God can use you way more than you probably ever dreamed. And I am a living example of that, the fact that God can use anybody. And the older I get, the more I'm convinced that God is not necessarily looking for ability. That's what we look at, right? Is the guy got the ability that he needs to do whatever we want him to do? God's more interested in our availability. Are you available for him? You know, many years ago, I stood before my church, a congregation in Concord, Virginia, and I told them that I was moving to Chesapeake to start a church. And that was about 23 years ago now. And I am so happy to report that God has blessed us, God has used us, and we are excited about the opportunity to minister in the Hampton Roads area. And you think about the church, you know, God has raised up the church. Do you ever wonder why the church has been raised up? What is the purpose of the church? You know, the Bible has a fivefold ministry for the church. And I think the first purpose of the church is to be a place where discipleship takes place. That is that we learn to be more like Christ. Oh, I want to encourage you to get into your church and get into the Word. If they have small groups, get into a small group because that is where you learn more about what it means to be a follower of Christ. So the church is all about discipleship, but also I think the church is very much about fellowship. And I think that's probably my favorite part of the church. I just love hanging out with God's people. You have a cup of coffee and maybe something to eat and just hanging out and talking to God's people. And, you know, when you think about fellowship, fellowship is always done one believer with another believer. Jesus himself says, what fellowship has darkness with light? So we don't have fellowship with the world. We've got to have fellowship with one another. That's why the church is so important. Above the doors at Hickory Ridge Community Church, we have this little phrase that says, welcome home. Now, the reason we have that on there is because we want you to feel as you walk in our doors that you're just coming on home, that you're going to be at home with us and you're going to be able to fellowship with us. And because of the coronavirus, we've had to do some things with social distancing. And I miss the days when we could have a cup of coffee together. I hope that soon we'll be able to get back to that. But for right now, we just can't do that. But we can fellowship together as we gather every Sunday. So the church is about discipleship. The church is about fellowship. The church is also about worship. One of the hardest things about this coronavirus was that we were unable to worship in a traditional manner, that is gathering together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Worship is showing worth to God for what he's done for us. What a mighty God we have. He gave his one and only son for us. We celebrate the fact that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again 3 days later. That's what worship is. It is showing honor to the one who gave his very life for us. The church is not only about discipleship and fellowship and worship, but the church is also about evangelism. That is sharing the gospel with somebody, going out and telling somebody the good news of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us and how he has saved us, how he took us when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and how he pursued us when we were not even looking for him. We were actually running from him. And he so wanted to pursue us and so wanted to have a love relationship with us that he may have caused some things to come into our lives. He may have caused us to hit bottom. He may have caused us to lose everything. He may have caused us to lose our health, maybe our wealth, maybe our marriage. You know, God does that because he loves us. He says, I so want to get your attention. Sometimes I use the illustration of my son, Seth, who has autism, and he's nonverbal, and he kind of has a mind of his own. He's a big kid. He's over 6 foot tall and almost 300 pounds now. When he was younger, he used to love to run. And sometimes he'd get away from us and he'd just run. I remember one night I woke up in the middle of the night and I noticed that Seth wasn't in his bed and I ran down to the kitchen and I saw that the kitchen window was open and the screen was pushed out. And then I saw my son out in the backyard. He was naked as a jaybird, jumping up and down on a trampoline. Now that boy was a menace. He had gotten out of the house in the middle of the night and was out there. And I'm glad it was happening in the middle of the night because the neighbors didn't see him. But I brought him back into the house. But let's say that one day my son had got away from me and he's heading toward the highway. And I cannot reach him. I know that he's too far away from me. I see how far away he is from me. And I know that I'll never be able to catch him. I also see out of the corner of my eye some heavy traffic that's coming his way. He's unaware of the traffic that's coming his way. All he knows is he's running. He's just bolting as fast as he can. I know that there's no way that I could possibly get him, and I see in just a matter of seconds, there's going to be this accident. And this accident could take his life. And so because I can't get to him, I pick up a stone and I hurl it at him. And as I hurl that stone at him, it hits him in his back. And all of a sudden, it stops him in his tracks. And he knows that he doesn't get hit in the back with a stone. And instead of running toward that traffic, all of a sudden he turns, and now he's running toward me. And he's coming after me full steam ahead. He is ticked off at me because I have thrown a rock at him. What he doesn't know is that in reality, I just saved his life. You know, I think God does that to us sometimes. That's what evangelism is all about. Understanding that sometimes God is at work behind the scenes. Sometimes he's allowing a tragedy in our lives and we're getting mad because this tragedy is taking place. And he says, I'm going to allow this tragedy so that I can get your attention. I just want you to look up to me. I have all the answers for every problem that you're dealing with. I can solve the brokenness that you're experiencing. I can heal you of the sins that you have committed. I can allow you to be eradicated of that guilty feeling that you're struggling with. Oh, if we can get past that hurt and see that we have a Savior that loves us, our lives will be on the right track. So I told you that the church is all about discipleship and all about fellowship and all about worship and all about evangelism. But the church is also about ministry. You know, I want to talk to you today about the ministry that God has for you. God has a ministry that is tailor-made just for you. You know, the moment that you got saved, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence within you. And when the Holy Spirit came into you, he didn't come in there by himself. He came there with a gift. He has a gift, at least one gift for you. And he wants you to use that gift for two purposes. Number one, God gives us a gift so that we can glorify God. You see, God wants us to show off his glory. I have a friend who started a church up in the Charlottesville area, and the motto of the church is this: we exist to spread the fame of God. You know, God gives us spiritual gifts, and these gifts are given to us to spread the fame of God. Oftentimes, God will give us a gift in our lives that we never thought we would ever have. It may be something that we didn't realize that we even had any tendency to be strong in those areas. That's one of the ways that you know it's the gift of God. But God also gives us a gift not only to glorify himself, but he also gives us these spiritual gifts in order that we may help to grow the church. I'm talking about growing the church not only numerically, but also spiritually. The spiritual gifts that God gives us are used so that we can be a blessing and an encouragement to those in the church family. Today, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to know that God is gifting you, and God is showing favor upon you. And as you think about that word favor, God has showed us favor. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, hey, can you do me a favor? You see, too many people think they're doing God a big favor, but in reality, it is he who has done us a huge favor. It is a favor so great that we can never repay it. That is salvation. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse number 10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So good works do not bring about salvation. Good works are a result of salvation. Once I am saved, I do good works. In order for us to do good works, we must be in the favor of God. We must have God's favor upon us. So Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 6. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in the path of anyone so that our ministry will not be discredited. I'm sorry I gave you the wrong reference on that. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3. So let's talk today about the favor of God in our lives. When God gives us his grace or God gives us his favor, he gives it to us proportionately. Going back now to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 7, God's favor has been given to each of us. It was measured out to us by Christ, who gave it to us. So God, through Christ, has given us grace, and he measures it out. Christ himself measures it out. You know why God measures it out? Because God knows that some of us need more grace than others. If you are ever in a situation with a group of people, even a group of Christian people, you will discover there's always one person in that group that is considered the EGR person. What does EGR stand for? There's always one person in the group that is an extra grace required person. God understands that we are wired differently, and he knows that somebody like me needs a lot of grace. And so I think that he gives me more grace because I'm more ornery. God gives measured out grace, and Jesus is the one that actually personalizes that grace. He pre-measures it, and it's prescribed by God. Here's a backup to help you with that passage in Romans chapter 12. For the grace that is given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. So Paul is reminding us here that God is the one that has given us this grace. If we have received this grace, don't become high-minded because you received this grace, because grace is not what you deserve. Judgment is what we deserve. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. If God has shown his favor upon you, his grace upon you, I want you to understand that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. The grace that God gives us should keep us humble. Paul says, rather, we should think of ourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of us. You see, when I think about God's grace, sometimes it appears to be exactly the opposite of what we would expect. We expect God to empower us. We pray, God, give me the grace to handle this person, and that's power to endure. And sometimes he does that. But as you think about how God gives grace, sometimes Paul learned that grace was given to him to keep him humble. God deals with his pride by giving him this thorn in his flesh. Paul said on three occasions, or prayed on three occasions, God, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? And God says, now, Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn in the flesh, but my grace is sufficient. In other words, I'll give you the ability to stand up under that pressure. My grace will be with you, but I'm not going to remove that thorn in your life. Sometimes God's grace will actually break us instead of making us. When we become filled with pride, for example, especially spiritual pride, God in his grace will break us. That's what Paul experienced with that thorn in his flesh. Well, I want you to understand this matter of God giving us grace. As he gives us favor, he gives it to us proportionately. But secondly, he also gives us grace, and it's given to us painstakingly. Let's drop down to verses number 8 through 10. That's why the scriptures say, when he went to the highest place, he took captive those who had captured us, and he gave gifts to the people. Now, this is actually Paul going back and quoting Psalm 68:16. Now, what does it mean that he went, except that he also has gone down to the lowest parts of the earth? The one who has gone down also went up above to all the nations so that he fills up everything. Now, there's some debate as to what Paul is talking about here. I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he went down and he took our hell for us. And when he rose again, he came up to the earth. He set the captives free. You may disagree with that. Many would not agree with that. That's just my personal opinion. But when it came to this matter of grace, his grace is given to us painstakingly in that Jesus planned it. He says that, Paul reminds us that we are elect before the foundations of the world. We learn that from Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus not only planned for it, but he paid for it. Now, this is a reference into which Jesus paid for the penalty of our sins. He triumphed over all of our enemies. He triumphed over sin. He triumphed over death, over Satan himself. That is what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, before we knew Christ, we were conquered. We were in chains. But he released us from those chains. He released us from that bondage. We are set free. I want you to know when God gives you his grace, it's because Jesus painstakingly paid for it, but it's also because God had a purpose for giving us that grace. Now we're down to verses 11 and 12. He also gave some apostles, some prophets, some missionaries, as well as pastors and teachers as gifts to his church, Their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. So here's the purpose behind God showing favor on us or God giving us His grace. He gives us different measures of grace, but He also has different ministries for us. And we see they fall into these categories of apostles and prophets, missionaries or teachers and pastors and teachers of the word. Jesus gave His grace to us, not just because of ourselves, but also so that we could serve others. It is given to me personally, but it's also much bigger than me personally. Jesus gave us these gifts with the purpose of building up the church. Years ago, Casting Crowns came up and wrote a song, and it's entitled, If We Are the Body. And here are the words just for the first stanza of that song. It's crowded in worship today, but if we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hands healing? Why aren't His words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing them a way? There is a way. So here, Casting Crowns is driving home the point that we are the body of Christ. And because we're the body of Christ, we ought to be serving others. We ought to be building up the church. You see, Jesus paid way too high of a price for us to just sit back and do nothing with the gifts that He has given us. He's paid way too much of a price for us to pick and choose who should come and who shouldn't come. You know, we are the body of Christ. You know, right now we are going through a terrible time of racial issues in our nation. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of friction. There's a lot of anxiety. I want you to know that if you're a follower of Christ, there is no room for racism within your heart. You can't even really comprehend that anybody would be racist because you realize that Christ died for the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. You also understand that God created every person in His image. And because God created every person in the image of God, every person should deserve dignity. Regardless of how they live their lives, they should be treated with respect and dignity. Now, that doesn't mean we don't punish people for committing crimes. That doesn't mean we allow them to get away with murder and get away with committing crime. But it means in the process, we treat them with dignity because of what Jesus did for us and the fact that we are created in the image of God. We are also given this opportunity to be treated with dignity. Well, Jesus also gives us His grace, and it's got a purpose to it, but this grace is given to us perpetually. Isn't this great? It's not just a one-and-done type thing, not just a one-time gift. It is the gift that literally keeps on giving. Verse number 13 says this, "This is to continue, God showing grace, God showing favor, until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son, until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard." Paul is saying the grace that God gives us, the favor that God bestows upon us, is going to continue on until every single one of us are united in faith and our knowledge of God, until every one of us measure up to what Christ has for us. In other words, we measure up to the standard of perfection. Now, this is not going to happen until we get to heaven. So we know from this verse that God's grace is going to be constantly poured out upon us, consistently poured upon us, until we go to heaven. You see, Jesus is that unending source of grace. Jesus is that unchanging standard of grace. Jesus gives us His grace, and it's actually a grace that produces something. Paul even talks about what it produces. It produces maturity in our lives. When we drop down to verses 14 to 16, it says, "Then we will be no longer children tossed and carried about by all kinds of teaching." You see, when you begin to be filled with God's grace, you decide that you're going to grow and you're going to be productive and you're no longer going to be tossed around like little children. You know, if you're a person that easily gets upset, or if you're a person that has a hard time maintaining relationships, if you're a person that cannot follow through with commitments, what you're in essence are saying is, I'm an immature person. You cannot be a grace-filled follower of Christ and stay in that immature state. You will by grace grow. You will by grace become more mature. You'll no longer be tossed and carried about by every teaching. You'll no longer be changing like the wind. No longer influenced by people who have cunning and clever strategies that will try to lead us astray. Instead, we speak the truth, but we grow up completely in our relationship to Christ, who is the head of the church. He makes the whole body fit together, and he unites us through the support of every joint. As each member does its own job, he makes the body to grow, and it builds itself up in love. Now, this is some good stuff when you think about it. As we are recipients of God's grace, we are no longer fluctuating to and fro. And this is talking about the inside of us. We're no longer unsettled on the inside. You see, you can only stay unsettled on the inside for a certain amount of time, and then it comes out the outside of us. We're no longer carried about by every wind. That is the wind from without. Fluctuating to and fro comes from within. Being carried about by every wind is the pressures from without. You know, when we're assaulted by others, when we are attacked by somebody else, then we are unstable. You know, the Christian is stable in the midst of chaos. We're no longer discouraged by the sleight of men, by their influence, by their cunning devices, by their deception. You see, grace does so much in our lives. I want to share with you 5 things that grace produces in our lives. Number 1, grace actually produces security. I am secure in Christ because of the grace that he has bestowed upon me. That is, I'm outwardly steady. I'm no longer tossed about. I'm no longer driven off track because God's grace produces security. Here's the second thing that God's grace produces in us, tranquility. That is, I'm inwardly controlled. I'm no longer influenced by people. As I was getting ready to record this broadcast, I was talking to Preston and I said, you know, some people are easily emotionally driven. You know, you just push certain buttons and they just fly off the handle or they get excited real easy. You know, as a follower of Christ, we are tranquil. We are inwardly controlled, no longer influenced by emotions. Now, that doesn't mean we're emotionally dead, but that means that we don't get caught up in emotion. You think about people who riot. They base it upon charging people emotionally and getting them emotionally charged. And oftentimes people will be rioting. And if you could get them to calm down, you say, why are you rioting? They have no idea. They say, I just got caught up in the emotion. I just got caught up in the moment. That should never be the case of a Christian because we are spirit controlled, not emotionally controlled. Well, here's the third benefit of grace, the third product of grace. That is integrity. That is, I am openly honest. I speak and I live the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you think about truth and integrity, as followers of Christ, that is how we operate. We operate on truth, always living the truth, always believing the truth. Grace will also produce maturity. That is, I can see somebody visibly growing. I grow up in my relationship with Christ. He is the head. Not me. You know, that's part of maturity. If you're the type of person that is always the first one in the line, then you're really an immature person. I mean, that's what kids do, right? Kids just jump to the front of the line. They have not learned that you ought to be respectful and let other people go. Part of maturing is understanding that I'm going to let others go first. We spell the word joy, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Grace produces maturity. Grace also produces unity. I'm completely connected with the body of Christ, united like a body, doing my part, doing my job in love. So Paul actually uses the analogy of the human body. You know, the hand can't say, I no longer want to be connected to you. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, wherever my hand goes, that's where my body goes because it's connected. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. And then he says down in 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Oh, I want you to know today that if you're filled with grace, you realize that you're part of the body of Christ. And I pray that you won't do anything to hurt the body of Christ. That you will always realize that everything that I do in my life is a reflection on the body of Christ. I want to close the broadcast by praying for you today, praying that you'll be filled with God's grace. So Lord, we come before you today, realizing that we are a needy people, realizing that we are a people that easily get off track. So we come before you to say, would you forgive us for our trespasses and our shortcomings? We ask that you fill us with your Spirit. We pray that we do nothing to grieve the Spirit of God living within us. We pray that we take these gifts that you have graciously given to us and that we'll use them to glorify you, to build up the church. We pray that we'll walk humbly before the Lord. We pray that we'll practice Micah 6:8, to love mercy and to love justice and to walk humbly before our Lord. May we go with your peace today that transcends all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his glory, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.